From NPR and WBUR Boston, I'm Jeremy Hobson.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. It's Here and Now. Coming up, we'll go to Los Angeles, where election officials are considering offering cash prizes to woo voters to the polls.
But first, to the growing Ebola crisis in West Africa. Nigeria today announced two new cases of the disease, which has so far killed more than 1,300 people since March. And yesterday, South Africa became the latest country to issue a ban on non-citizens traveling from Guinea, Sierra Leone, and Liberia to South Africa. The UN has warned, though, that travel bans make it difficult to fly in food and medical aid to the affected areas. NPR's Africa correspondent Ofebia Quist-Arkton joins us from Accra, Ghana, with more. Welcome.
Greetings.
Well, what does this South African travel ban call for exactly?
Travelers from Guinea, Sierra Leone, and Liberia, as far as I know, the three main countries where Ebola has hit, are to be stopped from traveling to South Africa. Now, South African nationals are allowed back into their home country, but apparently they will be subject to tight health screening before they're allowed back in. And Jeremy, it's not just South Africa. Neighbouring Senegal, its neighbour is Guinea, where this epidemic started. It first closed its borders in March, then changed its mind. It has closed its borders again with Guinea, and it apparently is also not allowing flights from Guinea, Liberia, and Sierra Leone, and also is stopping any ships coming from Guinea. So it is getting serious. I could also mention Ivory Coast, which borders Liberia and Guinea, also taking precautions. But further away, Kenya, Chad, closing its borders with Nigeria. Cameroon has already done so. So everybody in West Africa and further afield in the continent is getting very jittery about Ebola.
And I know that one of the reasons that these bans have not gone into effect yet is because of obvious concerns about the economic impact. What might that be? How does this affect the economies of these countries?
That is the real issue, because you have countries such as Kenya, where tourism is so important, and also South Africa, where tourism makes up for a lot of the money that comes in from the economy. These countries can't take the risk, they're saying, of Ebola hitting them. And hotels that are already partly empty because of, in Kenya, for example, the extremist group Al-Shabaab from Somalia that has been targeting different locations in Kenya. It has already seen vacancies in hotels way down, so it can ill afford Ebola. It's a huge problem. Even here in Ghana, Ebola has not hit Ghana yet, but it is also very jittery. And, you know, hotel owners are saying that people are cancelling things like international conferences, seminars, bed occupancy is down. If airlines aren't flying, they're not going to get the air crews who routinely stay at their hotels. So it's becoming a very big problem for Africa.
And what about these two new cases that we're hearing about in Nigeria? How big of a problem is that? Because, of course, as we know, Nigeria is the most populous country in Africa.
Indeed. You know, the name Patrick Sawyer has now gained continental infamy here in Africa. Patrick Sawyer is the Liberian-American who flew from Liberia via Togo and Ghana to Nigeria's megacity Lagos last month, was apparently sick during the flight, was throwing up when he got to the airport in Lagos at Murtala Mohammed, then got sick, then went to a private clinic, was looked after by medical and nursing staff. Two nurses are dead, one doctor is dead, Patrick Sawyer is dead, and now two spouses of two of the people who he came into contact with are also testing positive for Ebola. So although Nigeria has received plaudits for its handling of the Ebola outbreak, the fact that it has managed to trace, apparently, most of the people who came into contact with Patrick Sawyer, apparently those on the plane weren't infected. Now, although they have traced all these people, it's now the spouses of those who helped him who are falling sick. you know, this is very frightening. It's very frightening, Jeremy, to people all over West Africa, because they think, well, supposing it's a friend of a friend of a friend that I catch it from, or my cousin's wife or my cousin's husband. So even here in Ghana, as I say, a country that has not been hit by Ebola yet, people are frightened. Even doctors are fearful here.
Well, and I know that you have reported from some of the hardest hit places. Since you have come back to Ghana, are people being more careful about even shaking your hand or saying hello to you, given that you've been in some of these affected areas?
You know, I come from Ghana, so I'm afraid people are going to try and hug me and give me big hugs and kisses. You know, right at the beginning, I wasn't shaking hands with anyone. I was knocking elbows with them, which is what is done in Sierra Leone, where I've been recently, in Liberia, in Guinea, or you hold up your hands together and you greet people by bowing, or you touch your chest to say hello. Those things have become routine in the Ebola hit countries, but they're catching on elsewhere as well, especially with people who you might not know. Can you greet them warmly as you would once have done? That is not happening because people are nervous, extremely nervous.
Ophabia Quist-Arkton with the latest on the Ebola crisis. Ophabia, thank you.
Well, usually I say always a pleasure, but this is not a pleasure. It's a devastating story, and we'll just have to keep covering it because the Ebola epidemic is not over, says the WHO, although it now says it has a 6 to 9 month plan for West Africa. Many people are saying, at last, why has it taken so long?
NPR's Ophabia Quist-Arkton in Ghana.